Be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we look at a beautiful passage that says so much about living the Christian life. Let's walk through this passage together, Bible study style. First, Paul reminds us, so if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Being a Christian should make a difference. It's not that Paul wants the Colossians to have their head in the clouds. Far from it. He wants the Colossians to recognize that having their mind on Jesus, who is sitting at the right hand of God, will show up in how they live their earthly lives. Paul's using baptismal imagery here. In baptism, the old life dies, and a new life in Christ is begun. When baptism is performed by submersion, the waters close over the head of the believer like dirt closes a grave. In this imagery, the believer participates in Jesus' death. As the believer comes up out of the water, the imagery is of rising from the grave, and the believer participates in the resurrection of Jesus. Paul uses language which seems strange to us when he says we are hidden with Christ. It's helpful to know that the Greeks called burial being hidden in the earth. Consequently, being hidden with Christ is being buried with Christ. Being hidden with Christ is leaving the old life behind and participating in new life with Jesus. This new life is not something that begins in the distant future, but begins with baptism and becomes complete when we go to our Maker. That's what we mean when we say our baptism is complete, when we physically die to this world and rise again in glory with Christ Jesus. Paul says it this way in verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Paul promises that our final reward will be glory with Christ. With our focus on this end, our lives should reflect Christ's glory now. As the old song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. William Barclay says it this way, the believer will no longer live as if this world was all that mattered. He or she will see the world against the background of the larger world of eternity. Living against the background of eternity means that we live with a new set of values. We are more concerned with giving than getting. We are more concerned with serving than ruling. We are more concerned with forgiving than avenging. Our standards are not self-centered, but God-centered, following the example set by Jesus Christ. Letting go of the self-centered lives we are so inclined to live is not easy. Paul lists some of the self-centered behaviors he saw as contrary to God-centered living. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Remember, idolatry is anything that we rely on other than God. It does not have to be a stone image. It can be money. Paul calls greed idolatry. And Paul is so right. Our desire to accumulate wealth separates us from God. It's so easy to say we cannot use our money to help others because we need it to keep in case of a rainy day. After all, it's only prudent, isn't it? Shouldn't we build barns to store our wealth? Because we will not always have the ability to accumulate. I'm sure it's no accident that today's gospel reading is Luke 12, 13 to 21, where Jesus is asked by someone in the crowd to tell his brother to divide the family inheritance with him. In Jesus' day, the family inheritance went to the oldest, who became the new head of the family. The voice in the crowd was hearing Jesus' message and interpreted it to mean that his brother should change his behavior rather than considering how he should change his own behavior. Jesus turned the focus back to the speaker when he warned him against greed. Jesus said, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. It's so easy to turn our eyes from Jesus onto acquisition of possessions. This move from God-centered behavior to self-centered behavior, Paul calls idolatry. Paul does not leave it with greed, but lists other behavior which characterizes the old life. Paul says the Colossians must get rid of all such things as anger, wrath, malice, and abusive language. Paul says, do not lie to one another. Wow. Paul could be describing today's politics. Our airwaves are full of anger, wrath, abusive language, and lying. Sadly, much of it is done in the name of the church. Paul does not say this behavior is okay so long as it's done for a good purpose. In ethics, we call that the end justifies the means. In other words, it does not matter how you get there as long as the destination is correct. Wrong. Paul tells us that the destination is promised. The end is established. We are hidden with Christ and will be glorified with Christ. Now we focus on the journey. Now we focus on the means. Now we focus on living a God-centered, Christ-centered life that is not about accumulating things or greed or idolatry or whatever you want to call it. We focus on living out our lives as God's chosen ones. So how do we do that? First, we clothe ourselves with knowledge according to the image of the Creator. Jesus is the perfect image of the Creator. We clothe ourselves with knowing Jesus. We turn our eyes upon Jesus and let Jesus be our guide. If we truly turn our eyes upon Jesus, The things of the world will grow strangely dim. That is, they no longer have the significance they once had. If we are truly focused on Jesus, the acquisition of things loses its significance. If we're truly focused on Jesus, we value people more than profit. If we're truly focused on Jesus, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language fall away. If we're truly focused on Jesus, we do not make arbitrary distinctions between people, such as Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free. I don't know about you, I haven't met a Scythian. What? So how would Paul say this to us? Paul would say that we do not distinguish between people based on national origin. Paul would say Jesus would not distinguish between people based on religious affiliation. Jesus would not distinguish between people based on their political or social status. In the light of Jesus' glory and grace, all are beloved children of God. Paul does not leave the Colossians with all these negatives. He goes on to say what living with our eyes upon God's promise looks like. Paul says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Grace and gratitude. There it is again. Thanks. Give thanks. Gratitude. Paul's promise is one of peace. If we live the life that Christ modeled for us, we are focused on loving our neighbor, not anger. If we live the life Christ modeled, we clothe ourselves with love, not worried about getting even for wrongs done to us. If we live the life Christ modeled, we live a life seeking to include everyone in God's family, knowing that God's promise is for everyone. It is with this knowledge of God's love and inclusion that we go to the table on Communion Sunday, where God calls us from north and south, east and west, to eat together at the banquet Jesus sets for us. May each of us live our lives focused on Jesus, who modeled a God-centered life for us. Amen. So having heard the word of God,